John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Oh, here's some troubling news. In yet another sign of his pivoting toward the general election, Senator John McCain said at a roundtable with business leaders in San Jose today that comprehensive immigration reform would be a top priority for the next president. There you go.
Amnesty Man is back.
He does talk out of both sides of his mouth.
You know,
that speech he made last week about how in the year 2013 he predicts the borders would be secure at the end of his first term and then we can look forward to comprehensive immigration reform. But now in this statement, it makes it sound like he's going to work on it as soon as he becomes president.
What? He absolutely is an amnesty guy, and it doesn't matter what he says. He's an amnesty guy right to his bones, the same way Bush is. No one and nothing will ever change his mind.
Call it a banana if you want to.
I think practically he will say and do some things in order to create a more inviting climate for amnesty. But amnesty is his ultimate goal and always will be.
Well, this crowd was worried about the H-1B visas for the scientist and the engineer. This is a tech crowd in San Jose. So he was talking to that as well as taking care of all the rest of the other problems
with
immigration.
I'm for all intelligent people coming to America and staying here and becoming citizens. I'm against all the poverty-stricken people who come pouring in without any education or skills. Let's just bring in smart people. Let's keep the peasants out.
Look at this. He actually said, Senator Kennedy and I tried very hard to get immigration reform, a comprehensive plan through the Congress. And then he added, I believe we have to secure our borders, and I think Americans agree with that. It's a matter of national security, but we must enact comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah,
we must make it a top agenda item.
There you go.
With straight talk as of January 2009.
All right. Well, we got to keep fighting the guy. We fought Bush all these years. So we're going to have to keep fighting McCain or Obama.
And we'll talk to Congressman Ed Royce a little bit later on about Dianne Feinstein and Larry Craig's farm amnesty bill, which for now is pushed to the side. But first, we want to talk to him about this humongous farm bill and its implications.
Can I read something here from the New York Times? David Brooks wrote a piece on this the other day in his column. He says farm income, net income, is up 56% over the past 2 years.
It ought to be. Look at the price of food.
56%. The growers of nearly every crop will get more money. Farmers in the top 1% of earners qualify for federal payments. Here's one example. This will make you crazy. Under this bill, the government will buy sugar for roughly twice the world price and then resell it at an 80% loss. Why would we spend tax money to buy sugar at twice the price and then sell it at an 80% loss? Why would we do that? This kind of waste dwarfs the money we blow on illegal aliens.
We don't agree with Bush often in the last couple of years, but he vetoed this huge farm bill. It's nearly $300 billion. And one of his quotes is, the American taxpayer should not be subsidizing that group of farmers who have adjusted gross incomes of up to $1.5 million.
All right, let's get Ed Royce on here.
Yeah, to talk about the farm bill, and of course, there's been a few glitches with the actual vote on the farm bill.
But Ed, how you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good.
I have one overriding question. Why are we spending even a dime on any farmer? Why?
You know, I introduced a bill. It was 5957, H.R. 5957 this year, to end agricultural subsidies. On that very basis, on that very argument, you know, we've got this budget deficit, so why should we, and why should we be involved in the market anyway,
this is
subsidizing people to grow crops not grow crops?
Is this just a matter of history and the lobby? Because this goes back to the days where we had, like, the one-family farms.
It does. And frankly, it would be much cheaper for the American people. As you just cited the sugar argument. Now, consumers pay $1.5 billion a year here in higher sugar prices than they should, and this bill is supposed to increase that amount by $400 million.
All right, explain this to me. Why are we buying sugar at twice the price and then selling it at an 80% loss? Why would the government do that?
Because the members on this committee, the Agricultural Committee in the House and Senate, come from districts where if they offer up huge subsidies to farmers and subsidies to those who grow crops with sugar in them, like beets and such, they can expect to get a lot of support at the polls. And this is where, in that same op-ed you cited, I remember reading that by Brooks. He explains why this could break down democracy. The fact that you've got special interests at a time when the deficit is so large, pushing a bill that's going to increase to $65 billion a year in spending, when we, what did he say it was, a 56%
increase? 56%
increase
in income. It seems like the farmers are all doing fine. We shouldn't have to give them anything.
There's
I being an idiot? What is the purpose of giving them a dime?
No sense, because the prices have gone up 20%. We've seen the economic data for all of these different crops. And so raising the payment rates for these crops and creating these new subsidies is just going to create a huge deficit, a huge addition to the U.S. deficit.
How many years does this bill cover?
Five.
This bill, yeah, goes for 5 years.
So it's going to lock us in for 5 years in the farm spending.
$60 billion a year? And aren't most farms owned by large companies?
Oh, today they are. And they also voted down the attempt to cap the payment. So you've got subsidies to millionaire farmers in here without a hard, meaningful cap on their qualifying income, which is something we also try.
I was going to say, so Bush is right. You could have farmers who gross like over $1 million a year and still get the subsidies.
That's right.
He vetoes it, and it gets overridden in a matter of hours.
Well,
and they were so anxious to override it.
Yeah, they made a mistake.
Yeah, that they left out Title III in the bill, a section of the bill, and then tried to override it without telling anybody. It was a different bill, actually.
So they didn't send the whole bill to the president?
That's right.
And according to the House clerk, the clerk said that during a review of the process, their enrolling division staff were concerned because they were receiving direct calls from leadership, Democratic leadership, and the committee, the farm, ag committee, to accelerate that enrolling process. And so they were putting such pressure on the staff, they forced the thing out of there without it even being correct onto the president's desk. And then when they discovered the error, they tried to hush that up. So it created a little bit of a crisis over here.
There was the vote yesterday. The original override was 316 to 108. You're going to tell me there's 316 people in the House of Representatives who get farm money or in farm districts? That just seems
That is where these members became ingenious. By adding subsidy payments in food stamps and other things like that in the bill, they managed to get the Democratic and Republican members in the farm, or some of them in the farm areas, plus all of the ones who want higher welfare, because another thing that was really increased markedly in this bill is the welfare component of the bill. So all of the Democrats would vote for that part.
So they teamed up the farm people with the welfare people.
That is right.
Ed, you're a great guy, but your party does not deserve to live. I mean, if after all the batterings that you guys have taken over the last few years, you're still blowing $300 billion on farm subsidies when the president is vetoing it, and he's been the biggest spending president we've ever seen in our lives, well, what are you guys doing? I mean, you got a death wish
here. The no votes on this were conservative Republicans, obviously.
Right, but I mean,
you had nothing to do with the farm lobby,
but the thing is, you could stop the veto override.
That's what we were trying to do.
Right, but too many Republicans voted to override the veto. That's what I'm saying.
We had guys in some of these farm states defect on us, enough of them that they got the ability to override the veto. You're right about that.
Well, then what's the point of voting for a Republican if you end up with the same massive, wasteful overspending? This is $300 billion of welfare to some of it, welfare to rich people.
Right, but as I've shared with you, and of course in the Senate today, we stopped Dianne Feinstein's amnesty bill. All we can do is try to, from my standpoint, elect more common sense people, whether they're Republican or Democrat, conservative about their approach to fiscal responsibility.
And I think most people would like to elect them. I don't know that they even run, though.
Not enough of them do.
This is an abomination.
We still have a majority of the Republicans in the House voting with the conservative line against the farm bill and voting against amnesty. But what we need to do is build the support for more conservatives. And frankly, that's something that, as people become more acquainted with these issues, how do you think we stop these bills now in the Senate? It's because You guys get up on the air, talk about amnesty and issues like that. All of a sudden, people realize what's really going on. They pressure their office holders, and we have a success today in the Senate. Unfortunately, if we'd been doing more earlier on this bill, we might have been able to, with the veto override, you know, we might have been able to stop this, but we weren't working it hard enough.
This bill even has some sort of a pilot program in it, which would force taxpayers to support record prices for corn, wheat, rice, and soybeans, even when market prices dip. That way, even farming couples who can earn taxable profits of up to $2.5 million before they would lose any government payments.
$2.5 million and you still get government payments? Yeah. Hang on, Ed. We got to take a break. We'll have more with Ed Royce about this $300 billion welfare bill to farmers, a lot of them rich farmers.
You may find it hard to believe in this era of rising food prices why we're still handing out this much money to some farmers who have pretty sizable incomes. We'll do more when we come back.
On the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Listen to me, Bill Handel, mornings at 5, right before Rush on KFI.
We don't cover everything, just everything that matters. KFI News.
KFI AM 640.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Uh-oh. We just had a flash here and we lost our TVs.
Everything's gone.
Did you hear see the flash, Terry?
Yes, I did.
I was a little lightning here in Burbank.
There's ugly clouds.
And now our cable television has gone out. What are we going to do? The Lakers aren't playing.
We can't watch the baseball game.
No! Congressman Ed Royce is on the line with us. Oh, it's back. All right, it's all back. We're okay now.
I feel much better.
Everyone calm down. The TVs are back.
Ed Royce is on with us.
Yeah, he was talking about the massive farm bill that President Bush vetoed, but apparently the House and the Senate have plans to override his veto. And also, Ed, we wanted to ask you about the status of the Feinstein-Craig farm workers amnesty bill.
Ed, how can a guy who is caught soliciting sex in a public restroom at an airport be the driving force behind a farm worker amnesty bill? Shouldn't this guy go back in his toilet stall there?
Yes, he should.
That's a simple answer.
You got me.
Good Lord. I mean, this is beyond comical.
Man, how many years have they been around with this? It seems like...
Well, here's what's amazing. We used to hear this argument that, okay, we'll secure the border. They'd be lying about it, but we'll secure the border. And then we'll do this massive amnesty again. Now they're trying to do an amnesty here today, and we stopped this bill today for 3 million illegal alien workers.
They're going to do it like they're going to do it 3 to 4 million at a time, rather than the whole 20 million.
Right, but without a word about doing anything to secure the border or create a lawful system of immigration. Instead, they move right to the objective, which is total amnesty. Do it a bit at a time.
They're supposed to give the farm workers legal status for 5 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be here permanently. But I resent this stuff because they were repudiated 2 years in a row, and to sneak it in the back door with very little publicity, and to do it a piece at a time, and then attach it to an Iraq spending bill is just so wrong. I mean, they ought to be ashamed of themselves if they were capable of feeling shame.
But remember, there's one other thing that this Feinstein amnesty tried to do, too, and that's a free pass for Social Security fraud. Because under the bill, illegal aliens who've committed Social Security crimes are given a free pass.
Really?
If you were intentionally using the Social Security number of another person, you've got the free pass.
Just farm workers or all illegal aliens?
To those that would come under this provision. Also, if you were altering a Social Security card or buying or selling a Social Security card or creating fraudulent Social Security cards.
So it would be forgiveness for all the identity fraud crimes they committed?
Amnesty plus. Amnesty for the Social Security fraud and the amnesty itself.
That clause I don't even remember being in the big amnesty bill last year.
Well, I don't recall that in there. I think it was implied, but it's spelled out here. And it also prohibits removal of any alien who is apprehended. So they may not be deported until the alien has had an opportunity to apply for, and then it says, and shall be granted work authorization for such purpose. That's Section 104B. So you're really putting something in the spokes of the whole immigration system when you're saying, look, you're not going to deport people. You're going to put them right into this program if you catch them here illegally. And you're going to grant them that work authorization. You're going to give them that Social Security number. You're going to give them, the work permit and so forth. So this really would have been a terrible, terrible precedent.
So where does it go now? Is it going to stand alone and be voted on?
Well, for now, we've managed to kill it.
Who killed it?
Well, Jeff Sessions led the charge, frankly.
From Alabama.
Yeah, from Alabama. And
he's a senator.
He was big fighting the amnesty last year.
Yeah, I remember. So how does he kill it? How does one guy kill it? Explain it.
Well, he got up on the House floor and pointed out, the Senate floor, and he pointed out that this was 110 pages of controversial immigration provisions that were added to a supplemental bill without anybody seeing it, added it the day of the vote. And he said, you know, this has been less than a year since the Senate resoundingly defeated the Senate immigration bill, and that was back on June 28th of last year. If you'll recall, you guys played a big role in that, and it was a huge defeat. They needed 60 votes. They lost it, 46 to 53 voting against it. And so here they are bringing this back, and he pointed that out, and then people started looking at it.
Why? Because most of the senators didn't know it was in there?
Well, when you put something in on the day of the vote, do you think you know it?
That's often the case.
You're lucky when a Jeff Sessions is watching, to catch that. And he caught it, and he raised all kinds of attention to it. And so as a consequence, today we had a victory on that front. By the way, I should mention on that the farm bill that we were talking about, one thing, I disagree with Senator McCain on his immigration policy, but he did vote against the farm bill and helped lead the argument against the farm bill.
He has often been screaming his time in the Senate about spending. I do know that about him.
Yeah.
I guess this is one time he said enough with the farmers.
That's a good side of McCain.
All right,
Ed Royce.
We've got to go, Ed Royce. Thanks for talking to us, Congressman Ed Royce. All right, when we come back, we'll stick to Congress and we'll talk about a woman we haven't talked about much on the show, Congresswoman Laura Richardson, who apparently was not able to make the payments on her Sacramento home. What a story.
On the John and Ken Show, this will be funny. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, where Terry Ray Ulmer has the news now.
One mission, more stimulating talk radio.
KFI
AM 640.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Shampo, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Yeah, we'll check in with Eric Leonard after 5 o'clock for what's been going on down there in Orange County in the foothills, the canyons, with the strange weather we've had today. Some areas have had, and we actually had some raindrops here in Burbank and some flashes of lightning.
There have been bad thunderstorms and flash floods and mudslides down in Majesca Canyon, Santiago Canyon, where they had the big fire in Orange County last year.
But as Terry Ray told us, John, it did not come from Mexico, this weather system, from Colorado.
I didn't think so because it was such a cold wind.
You just can't blame everything on Mexico now. Just stop trying.
Sometimes you get weird weather when it blows up from Mexico, but this time it's Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have a full update on that with Eric Leonard after 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about a congresswoman that we've never talked about before, and she hasn't actually been around that long. Democrat Laura Richardson, at her basic home is Long Beach. Her district is down there, Long Beach, Carson. And she ran in a special election just last year because the person that had the office died of cancer, Juanita Millender McDonald.
And this Laura Richardson had just become a member of the state assembly.
She was a Long Beach City Council member from 2000 to 2006. John, you know what her job was before that?
Why?
Southern California Director for, don't laugh too hard, Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante. From 2001 to 2005, that was her job.
Oh, then she's a dope.
She was his director.
And she's
that Lieutenant Governor's a nothing job, but he's got a bunch of directors.
What are they directing? Traffic?
I know. She did it for 4 years.
She directing a movie? What? What is she directing?
Then she went to the Long Beach City Council until 2006, and then she got to the California State Assembly. And just a year later, she becomes a U.S. Congresswoman.
Yeah,
but now the story is, the home she bought up in Sacramento when she became, for a brief time, an assembly member has been foreclosed on.
She apparently can't handle her money very well. It was foreclosed and auctioned off 2 weeks ago. She left behind $9,000 in unpaid property taxes. Apparently, she had poured $77,000 into her own campaign. And in order to get elected, she stopped making payments on her house. So instead of paying her mortgage, She had to pay her campaign bills.
This story was broken by something called Capital Weekly, the newspaper of California government and politics out of Sacramento. Tax records at the Sacramento County Assessor's Office show that in January of 07, she took out a mortgage for the entire sales price of the house, $535,000.
She didn't put a penny down?
Nope. The mortgage amount was equal to the sales price of the home, meaning she was able to buy the house without a down payment, even though, it says here, the housing market was beginning to turn south.
Zero down payment?
A March 19th, 2008 notice of trustee sale indicates the unpaid balance of Richardson's loan, which is held by Washington Mutual, is more than $578,000, $40,000 more than the original mortgage. Nice going.
Wait a second. She owes more money than she borrowed?
I guess because of tax assessments. Other unpaid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a tax assessment on that, too. Oh, that's pretty funny. And
now, this is not her primary residence. She owns a four-bedroom home in Long Beach. But, John, you're probably right. When she ran for Congress, which was not long after she bought this house, she just stopped making payments because she needed the money to win her campaign.
So, basically, she ripped off the bank in order to get elected as a congresswoman.
Yes.
I mean, because she had the money to pay off her house, she chose not to do it. She chose not to pay.
She fell behind on her mortgage payments with the campaign heating up, and she loaned her congressional campaign $60,000, money she's begun to pay back.
Now, Washington Mutual has taken a $200,000 bath on this house because they took it and then they sold it at an auction for a lot less than Richardson paid for it.
And here's something funny.
So isn't that some kind of fraud, though, when you have the money to pay off a mortgage and you use it on your election campaign?
Yeah, the bank issued a default note, and the home was sold at a public auction for $388,000 on May 7th.
She got the bank to finance her campaign.
Basically, it turns out she did. But isn't she going to have a black market? Or, I mean, if she tries to buy a home again, it's not going to be pretty. Although she doesn't need to.
I guess she doesn't care. But
I
she
don't know
pulled
where
it
she's
off.
Living
she,
in D.C.
She got her congressional seat, and, you know, there's all kinds of money that she could shake down once you become a congressman.
You're right. The real loser was Washington Mutual. Issued her a $535,000 loan with no money down. By the time the default notice was issued, Richardson was underwater on the loan. She owed about $575,000, including $18,000 in missed payments. So WAMU ended up writing off nearly $200,000 of that debt to get rid of the house. Now, she declined to be interviewed. However, a statement was issued. Listen to this statement by Congresswoman Laura Richardson. I have worked with my lender to complete a loan modification and have renegotiated the terms of the agreement with no special provisions. I fully intend to fulfill all financial obligations on the property.
She was lying.
The next paragraph from the Press Telegram story says, this would come as a surprise to James York, the Sacramento real estate broker who bought Richardson's home at auction. And that's what he does. He specializes in buying and selling foreclosed homes. He said, though, if she'd like to pay the property taxes for me, I'd be happy to have her do that. It's not $8,950 in unpaid property taxes.
You know, apparently she had garbage up to the ceiling in the garage. When the house was relatively clean, but the garage was full of trash up to the ceiling.
Well,
and neighbors complained that the lawn was disgusting.
Helmer, who sold the home to Richardson, told the Capital Weekly the neighbors are extremely unhappy with her. She didn't mow the lawn or take out the garbage while she was there. We lived there for a long time, 30 years. And we had to hide our heads whenever we came back to the neighborhood because of the condition of the house.
She said the neighbors were appalled at not maintaining the lawn. So she let the lawn grow wild, and she dumped all her trash in her garage.
Now what it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was just her stuff.
No, it was trash.
Why can't you put it out?
It wasn't just stuff. I mean, it was garbage. I thought you meant stuff.
No,
you know?
It was full of trash to the ceiling.
Ew.
Why didn't she just leave it on the curb? Or she didn't want to pay her sanitation bill?
I don't know. She's a crazy lady.
She is a crazy lady. And this woman, Sharon Helmer, makes a good point. She said, it's kind of silly. You would think people who are making decisions for others would be able to make good decisions for themselves. She should have known what she could afford and not afford.
See, why do people believe that? Why don't they believe that they elect nutcases to Congress? That these people can't manage their own money? That they blow their mortgage payments on their election? That they can't even dispose of their own garbage? That they can't even mow their own lawn? She's a crazy lady. but I guess, you know, it's a Democratic district, and she was the Democrat on the ballot. Nobody really paid attention to who she was.
She recused herself from a couple of votes in Congress on taxpayer bailout bills for people who can't pay their mortgages.
I'm surprised.
She did not vote on even Maxine Waters' bill that would give local governments $15 billion to purchase rehab and resell.
This is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of stories like this. A lot of these people created their own financial mess, and you have no sympathy for them. Her
priorities changed. She wanted that money to run for Congress. So the hell with making her mortgage payments.
Exactly.
She said, I'm not going to be in Sacramento anymore if I win this race.
So she screws the bank out of a couple $100,000. She gets elected to Congress. And, the other congressmen are saying, well, no, these poor people who have been victimized by the banking industry. It's like a lot of these people aren't victimized. They're just stupid or the crooks. People who buy homes. I mean, everyone I know in my whole life has taken their home very seriously. It's obviously, I mean, it's a cliche to say that it's the most important thing you'll ever buy.
Right.
And somebody like her treated it as if it was like a pair of shoes that didn't fit.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a Sacramento house. It wasn't really her main residence.
Yeah, well, she didn't care about it except the bank. She got the bank to give her $500,000.
I'm guessing she was elected in November of 2006, and then she got to Congress by the following summer, so yeah. She wasn't around in Sacramento right.
very long at all.
She'll
probably sit in that seat for 25 years.
Yeah.
And she's obviously a dope.
Well, that was the seat that was up for grabs. You know who her opponent was? Jenny Oropeza.
Another one.
But this was going to be the big Latino-Black struggle for this district, which covers Long Beach, Carson, and Compton.
Good. This is the kind of people they want? This is what I was saying to Ed Royce. There's nobody to vote for anymore. It seems like all these people are crazy who run for office, Republican and Democrat. You know, I mean, you just don't have a choice. You don't have a choice in most races. And both parties pretty much do the same thing. They blow lots and lots and lots of money. You know, to be honest with you, I couldn't care less if the Republicans get completely driven out of office this year. They all need that. They all need a severe beating. A severe political public beating.
Huge political human sacrifice.
Seriously. I mean, I want a forest fire of political human sacrifice, not just a cauldron.
All right, the toll-free number is 1-800-520-1KFI.
On the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
KFI's Big Stories.
Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama is keeping pretty quiet on his rumored search for a running mate.
An appeals court has ruled the state of Texas had no right to take more than 460 children from a ranch run by a polygamist sect.
We are on it. KFI.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau. KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
All right, it's been wild weather, as you've probably been hearing this afternoon throughout Southern California. We'll check in with Eric Leonard after 5 o'clock. About the flash flooding and mudslides in Orange County in the foothills. You've probably been hearing it's rain, hail, snow, thunder, lightning, depending on where you are today. And
it's Memorial Day weekend coming up.
Terry Ray just mentioned the report of a tornado now.
Where was the tornado?
Paris.
Paris?
Paris. Yeah. Oh, John, your favorite place, Paris.
Oh, that's
friends in Paris.
That's right. We have a couple of friends in Paris.
That could have lifted the whole town gone.
Sucked them all away.
That's massive.
That's right. Penny from Paris. She might have been sucked into the atmosphere there.
Yeah, it has been really wild, so we're going to have a full update after the news at 5 o'clock. I'm just taking a look at some of the stories from around Southern California, and there it is, snow falling along Highway 18 near Snow Valley in the San Bernardino Mountains.
Oh, that's up near Big Bear.
Yes.
Wow. Right. Snow. Snow in the Big Bear region.
An overturned cement truck slowed traffic on snow slick Highway 18 in the Arctic Circle area west of Big Bear Lake.
They call it the Arctic Circle?
I
didn't know that.
The Arctic Circle
area.
That's
a little extreme. It's not that cold there.
Well, today it fits.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The only other place that probably is snowing is the Arctic Circle, at least in the Northern Hemisphere.
Now, this is very bizarre. I mean, for May 22nd, I can't recall.
Well, yesterday.
A day this late in the season.
Well, we had that horrible heat wave with the Santa Ana winds. And then yesterday I was playing tennis in the morning and the winds were blowing And I thought, is this a Santa Ana? But it couldn't be. It was
so
cold.
No, it wasn't. No, it was such a chilly wind. Right.
And I think, God, this is strange. And today I'm driving around, I'm seeing thunderclouds, and they look like East Coast thunderclouds, the kind of clouds I never see out here.
That's exactly what I saw before I left home, and I said I better close the windows now, because even though they say it's only a 20% chance, that doesn't look good out there.
Yeah,
and when it gets windy, too, it feels like a storm is coming in.
Those thunderclouds you see every 3 days.
Yeah, but not here.
Not here, no.
But also last night, did you notice when you left that the entire lobby was filled with shrapnel leaves?
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
When people opened the door to go out, all the crap blew in.
It was that windy.
Shrapnel.
Right. Well, it was. She's talking about it was.
I thought maybe someone attacked us.
No.
Some mortar fire.
It was greenery.
Ken
knew
what I meant.
All sorts of leaf rakings and
maybe
grass clippings.
That Polish guy that's pissed at you came back.
Because
no.
You know, it's funny, Terry Ray. They had just vacuumed up that rug from that little open house they had the day before, where the health club was giving out free fruit and smoothies and stuff. So they had a dirty floor, and I thought, oh my God, she forgot to finish vacuuming. And I saw that same thing. It did look like shrapnel all over the floor. So when we come back, we'll talk to Eric Leonard about that. We got to tell you the story in the Sacramento Bee. Fabian Nunez, before he leaves completely from Sacramento, he gave us one more nice gift.
Yeah.
He went on Spanish language television in an interview, declared anybody who attacked him for his lavish spending, those nice trips he took to Europe and South America, that they were just being racist for attacking him.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to do in front of a Spanish audience. Why didn't he do that in front of a bunch of English reporters? Trashing white people in Spanish on Spanish TV. We'll get to him when we come back because some of his quotes are priceless. Terry Ray Elmer has the news now on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
People stinking.
Thursday, May 22nd.
He is bestowed with superhuman powers.
Power to cut through the crap.
Faculty and students are going nuts. Why would we set aside money specifically for a conservative? That doesn't make any sense. Of course, setting aside money for gay literature, Chicano studies, feminist rights, that's fine. But conservative studies, you can't do. Where are these people coming from?
Southern California's KFI.
Los Angeles, Orange County.